Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This Cars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net controls actually are twofold. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Joining me is my husband, KY6V. We're both located in Port St. Lucie. Our temperature right now is about 79 degrees. It was a high of about 80 and low tonight of about 78% humidity and possibly some storms. But right now it's a very nice evening. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right, no emergency traffic. That's always a great thing. But how about anyone celebrating their birthday this week? Maybe last week, or maybe next week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy birthday. All right, no birthday stations, and I always say that means we're not getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And tonight we're going to be talking about leader dogs, maybe leader cats. And Gordon is sort of told you all at the 5 minute. But I want to advise all stations connected that this net is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, so all stations participating will definitely be part of that recording. So with that, we want to welcome you once again to our Thursday informational net as we talk about leader dogs this evening, maybe leader cats, maybe service dogs. And if you do not have one, but you do have information, we sure hope to hear from you. But at this point, Gordon, I'm going to throw it over to you so you can begin, and you can throw it out to anyone who wants to check in, or throw it to me, and I'll continue. So KY6V, thanks for being part of the program with me tonight. The floor now is all yours.
Well, thanks, Kath. Good evening, everybody, one and all. Gordon here, KY6V. South Florida, and I just want to comment quickly here that, you know, we've had some recent changes in our lineup. The Thursday night TNT, which has been, or TIN, which has been going on for quite a while, has normally been broadcast on the third Thursday of each month. We have now included within the family, if I can put it that way, our family global hour and also our Sunday rag chew session will occur here on the same time, that being the third Thursday of each month. And it will be a rotational type thing. So this month will be TIN. Next month will be global. The following month will be our rag chew session, and then the following month we'll start all over again with the TIN. So that's the way that we're lining up the this situation. Okay, let me buy a nickel here and get it recharged for everybody. Tonight our session is leader and service animals, and as Kathy mentioned, it'll be moderated by her and myself. And we have a lot of people lined up here in the background to talk about various aspects of this who are more knowledgeable than both Kathy and I in this particular subject. But a service dog is a type of an assistant dog specifically trained to help people who have disabilities, including, you know, visual difficulties, hearing impairments, mental illness, seizures, diabetes, autism, and more. Desirable character traits in service animals typically include good temperament, a psychological makeup including biddability, there's a great word, and trainability, and good health, including physical structure and stamina. Service dogs are often trained and bred by service dog organizations, and Labrador Retrievers, German Shepherds, Golden Retrievers are the most common breeds used as service dogs, but any breed or mix of breeds is capable of being a service dog, so remember that. Though few dogs have all of the health and temperament qualities needed, such a dog may be called a service dog or an assistant dog, depending largely on country. Occasionally, they are incorrectly. Now, this was, I found this very interesting. Occasionally, they are incorrectly referred to as seeing eye dogs. And this, however, refers to a specific organization and not to guide dogs. Let me buy a nickel here, KY6V. Okay, under definition, in the United States, the applicable law covering places of public accommodations is the Americans with Disability Act of 1990. In 2010, the U.S. Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division, Disability Rights Section, issued ADA Alpha Delta Alpha 2010 revised requirements for service animals, and it states that several animals are defined as dogs that are individually trained to do work or perform tasks for people with disabilities. Examples of such work or tasks include guiding people who are blind, altering people who are deaf, pulling a wheelchair, alerting and protecting a person who is having a seizure, reminding a person with mental illness to take prescribed medication, calming a person with post-traumatic stress disorder. You've heard that called PTSD, Papa Tango Sierra Delta, during an anxiety attack or performing other duties. Service animals are working animals, not pets. They work as a task dog that has been trained to provide must be directed to the person's disability. Dogs whose sole function is to provide a comfort or an emotional support do not qualify as a service animal under the ADA. So I'm going to pause right here and let's throw it out and see what questions we've got, what comments. We've got some people here with us this evening that are a lot more knowledgeable on this subject than both Kathy and I, and use the service dogs on a regular basis. So, would anybody like to come in and make any comments at this point? Suffixes only, please. KY6V for South Cars.
Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
Golf, Mike, Romeo.
Okay, I saw LCB key up. I didn't hear anything, George, and that was because I had my speaker muted. Because Kathy ran the preamble, I didn't want to have anything in the background. And Golf Mike Romeo. Anybody else, please? Okay. Now, this guy that's coming up next knows all about dogs. He has bred and currently trying to raise some rather strange dogs. You want to comment on that, George? And hello, KY6V, over.
Well, hello, Mr. Six Vector, KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, and good evening to you, Kathy, and the rest of the group. Well, presently, I'm raising what they call wolf dogs. I bred my shepherd, Deuce, which I'm mentioning here momentarily, to a hybrid wolf, and I've got three pups, two males and one female, and got my hands full on that one. But as the material that you was reading off, where these dogs are trained to do a specific function, I'm having a hard time handling that. First thing I would like to say, you know, there's a bonding. No matter the dog is specifically trained to enter into a specific field. Let me pause a moment. And well, he needs to bond with the trainer and also the person that he's going to or she's going to assist. And quite recently, as you know, my daughter Twinkles, or Tamara, is mentally challenged, and she does have seizures. And Deuce, just before a seizure, he'll go over and sit down in front of her or by the bed, and he'll start barking, you know, and he has never trained for that. But they are, Tamara and Deuce are very close. I mean, she's been with him ever since we got him as a pup. And just a couple nights ago, he did the same thing, but it was with Katie. He got by the bed and started barking, and he wouldn't shut up until Katie got up. And when she did, she wasn't feeling too good. So she went and checked her blood sugar level, and it was bouncing around a 40. So, you know, I can't say as to why, except that that he knows us. And, you know, he has bonded with us, and many a time Katie has went to the door, and Deuce would get between her and the person at the door and just would not let that person in. And over the years, we've learned to respect his judgment, and the more and more and the older he gets and the older we get, we find out that, you know, he's got a lot in him that we really are just discovering. And you can, let me drop it a moment more. And there has been numerous cases all over the country, all over the world, where a non-trained dog would come to the rescue of someone that was in need, and you know, just do what he has to do to get their attention or the attention of someone else to save a family member. So I'm quite sure if you first notice this quality of your pet or a pet, further training would enhance everyone's better their, you know, their being in life there, and which could be used to help someone else. But I think you know, the saying, man's best friend, I do believe it, and I do believe it's also into bonding with the animal and their caregiver. So I'm still learning, what can I say, and hopefully with these new pups I'll learn a little bit more. With my understanding, the intelligence is far greater, brain capacity in the wolf, which over the years, you know, has been bred out of your domesticated dogs. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, George, I am so appreciative to have you with us here this evening. Some very excellent points. You know, it's my understanding that these service dogs, after they are trained, are mated with their intended person to help, and they go through additional training at the training camp, as I understand the procedure. And the dog gets to know the person gets to know the dog, and, you know, the bonding takes place. I will say that, you know, I grew up with shepherds like you have, George, primarily. And I had a 100-pound female by the name of Baroness von Brummel, who was a paper dog, but, you know, we just called her Brummy. At any rate, sharpest little thing I have ever seen. Well, she wasn't very that little or slight, I guess. But the story I would tell here is, one evening I was sitting in the living room, and she was sleeping at my feet, and I was talking to the family about my difficulty of waking up in the morning and hearing the alarm go off and reaching over and turning it off and going right back to sleep. And I said, well, maybe I ought to move that alarm clock across the room, put it on something else, and I'd have to get out of bed to turn it off. Maybe that would help me. I said, on the other hand, maybe Brummy ought to just, you know, wake me up when I need to get up. And you know, the next morning, let me buy a nickel here. The next morning, this 100-pound German Shepherd stuck her cold nose up into my cheek and said, hey, it's time to get up. And if I didn't get up, I had 100 pounds right on top of me, right on the bed. And she did it every morning after that like clockwork. It's just surprising. All right, thanks, George. Let me turn it over to Matt. N9GMR, KY6V. Hello. Over.
Gordon, very good. 9GMR here. I'm just trying to do some stuff for work at the same time, so I'm listening to both the computer and the radio with the half an ear here, and making sure I don't disappear because my battery may die on this handheld of mine. But anyway, what I wanted to say was regarding the guide dogs for the blind. I do have had one in the past. I don't have one currently. At least here in Florida, we have laws that relate to service animals and people with disabilities. One of them is called the White Cane Law. If you want to look it up, it's Florida Statute 316.1301. And basically what it says is that any person who is driving a vehicle when approaching an intersection or place where a person with a cane or guide dog is attempting to cross, they must stop their vehicle completely. Failure to do so will result in fines if you're caught. A lot of the police in this state don't know the law. I'm sure they don't know the law in other places either. They've also expanded that. Now there's also 316.1303 Florida statute, which covers any mobility device. Let me buy a nickel here. I have heard a lot of people, blind people, being denied access to, for instance, taxi cabs. I have never had that problem because I always told them that I always told them I had a guide dog, and at one point It was even on my computer record. When I called and my number came up, it would say blind person with a guide dog. So I always told them. Actually, my dog gave me a lot of confidence. I learned a lot about myself having her, to the point that I'm more confident than I used to be. And I used to sometimes leave her home and travel with my white cane just to keep my skills up. I think it's important for us to do that. Also, where I work at, which is a Center for Independent Living here in Daytona, we actually have a service animal class that meets every week. So just thought I'd throw that stuff in. Back to you, Gordon, and 9GMR.
Okay, great information. Thanks, Matt. KY6V here for South Cars. Let me ask you this question before we move it on. According to the ADA regulations and so on, you should have a clear access to go into any public area, be it a restaurant or whatever. With your guide dog. Have you had any problems with that, sir? Over.
No. Not as far as going into public places. I was denied access one time with paratransit because of my dog. And I immediately called the local company. I happened to know the scheduler over there because I had dealt with him several times on scheduling issues and other issues. And I told him what was going on, and he immediately put a stop to it. But that is the only time I have ever been denied access. Also, every guide dog school, I'm not sure, at least the one that I went to, Southeastern Guide Dogs, they provide you with a book that has all of the access laws for every state in the country. So if a question ever does come up, you can always pull that book out and let them look at it. I also have in my wallet, I still carry it, although I don't need it anymore, it's still in there in case it ever comes up, but I do have a copy of the Florida access laws in my wallet on a plastic card.
Okay, very good. During my research for this, Matt, this subject tonight, it indicated there are certain areas that seemingly to me made sense that are off limits for a person that has a guide dog. You know, hospital operating rooms, that kind of thing. I didn't seem to have any problem with that. Do you, over?
Not at all. In fact, in training we were told to use discretion when, you know, use our judgment, better judgment or discretion, whatever you want to call it, when taking our dogs to any place. I personally would not take my dog to a hospital, doctor's office, anything like that, loud concert. Would not want the dog to be near food, period. I don't even didn't like going through a serving line with my dog, although I did it if I had to. I just don't want to give the dog any reason to be tempted.
Yeah, that sure makes sense to me. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you being with us here tonight, Tiger. This is KY6V for South Cars. Anybody else before I throw it over to Kathy to continue? Over.
This is November 6, India, Kilo Bravo. My name is Sheila.
Okay. I should know that call, and I can look it up. But I know who you are. You're the bride of Doug out there. Please go ahead. The IRLP... know that you are connected to as has a very how do I want to put this a higher frequency response in its audio, and it was just a little difficult to comment on, but I think this is the first time that I've had the pleasure of talking with you. I've talked with your husband many times, but hello, Mrs. California, go ahead please. Over.
Okay, well, I happen to have a guide dog. I got him from school here in San Rafael, and his name is Rufus. black Labrador. And he's a wonderful dog. As well as guiding me, he is a big part of our companionship here at home for Doug and I.
Well, isn't that great, Sheila? San Rafael, boy, does that bring memories back to me. You know, I lived up in Novato, north of San Rafael for a long time. And then I lived south of San Rafael before you got down to the Golden Gate Bridge and got into San Francisco for a long, long time. So that's great hunting grounds for me. I know that you're in Sacramento, so apparently San Rafael is the training center from where you picked up the dog. Is that correct? Over.
Yes, that is the closest one to me. They also have a school up in Oregon. And they, you know, have a lot of the same type of techniques as guide dogs here in San Rafael, but it is a different campus with different instructors, and so that works out for people who, one reason or another, don't want to go to San Rafael or whatever. They do have that option to go up to Oregon. There are also other schools with different names throughout the U.S.
Well, isn't that wonderful? We need to talk from some time and get a little more acquainted about the San Rafael area. And Sheila, my father, when he retired from CBS, took a job as a manager or caretaker, whatever was classified, for a little island just off of San Rafael. It was owned and operated by a tug company, very notable in the San Francisco Bay Area. It was about maybe a mile long and a half mile wide, something like that. And my mother and father lived out there. And I'd go down to our boat at the San Rafael a basin and fire it up and puddle out there and spend a day with them and then come back. So, you know, some great memories, Sheila. Over.
Yes, I'm sure that you do. I haven't had any problems with taking my dog. I've had several dogs. This is dog number 6. I have not had problems taking my dog to places. Like it was commented, I don't really care to take them into really loud places or places like a state fair or Disneyland or something like that. But they sure do bring a lot of independence. I feel much more comfortable walking with a guide dog than I do, say, with a white cane.
Very good. Well, thank you for that, Sheila. While we're into Sacramento, California, Doug, any comments and supports to your wife's comment? NFF, please. Over.
Here is N6NFF. Let me make sure I have it.
Yeah, you got it, sir. Good evening, Mr. California. Go ahead.
On the net. It's afternoon here, but it's evening back east in Florida. To Gordon, Kathy, and Matt, and everybody else that's listening in. So, I'm not a guide dog user. For the longest time, I had partial vision, and I had not a whole lot, but too much for a guide dog. Well, one of the things that I have not mastered very well since the loss of my vision over 10 years ago is to be able to travel independently. My mobility skills are very bad. Plus, my balance is an issue. So, unfortunately, there probably isn't any guide dog school it's going to accept me as a client because it just wouldn't work. Let me reset all of the timers. Oh, okay. Can you hear me well enough to go on?
Yeah, we're doing very good. How far is that RRLP from you? The only reason I'm asking, Doug, is a little bit of white noise in the background, not full quieting. And the IRLP has a an audio situation, and let's see how I can put this politely, where it's a very high frequency response, no lows. Not something is not quite right, but we're hearing you fine, Doug. Go ahead, over.
Okay, hopefully this will work out better. The IRLP node is, maybe 4 or 5 miles away from me, but it's a very low-profile IRLP node because of our friends at Beale Air Force Base, so they have to be careful about running a lot of high power. And I have an indoor antenna, and I don't get into it the best, but as I explained just before the net, we're using this because otherwise Sheila and I would not be able to hear the program at the same time. But I'm not a guide dog user. I don't travel well enough that a school would accept me as a client. But I do enjoy Sheila's guide dog because he's a nice dog, and he's probably the closest thing to a pet that I would ever have as an apartment dweller. And the thing about this guide dog, he is a completely different guide dog than the one that Sheila retired a couple of years ago. It'll be 2 years this September. He is a nice dog. He's a mellow dog, a very quiet dog, whereas Sheila's predecessor, who answered to the name of Betty Lou, was much more of a high-energy dog than her present dog, Rufus, is. But still in all, I enjoy having the dog around, and this is probably Sheila's last dog, so when it comes time for him to be retired, that'll be it for us as far as dogs go. Back to you, Gordon, KY6B in the net from N6NFF.
Okay, that last transmission, whatever you did, sir, improved our copyability 100%. So whatever you did, remember that next time you're using that RRLP. Let me ask you this, Doug. I would assume that Sheila went over through the training sequences in San Rafael when the dog was picked up, getting them acquainted and knowing each other and so on and so forth. Have you found, will this dog give you similar assistance if you were to take the dog out on the road, Doug? Would he accept you as a person that he would help? Over.
Well, the answer to the question, Gordon, is no. I am not allowed to use him. Only in a dire emergency would I be able to use Rufus. Otherwise, he's Sheila's dog, and he guides Sheila around, and not me. He's trained to be used by Sheila, and absolutely positively, nobody else. Over.
Well, that's very interesting. And I think I can understand that, Doug. You know, it's one-on-one. Okay. Thank you, Sheila, and thank you, Doug. Anybody else before I turn it over to Kathy to continue here, please? KY6V for South Coast.
Victor Hotel.
And Victor X-Ray Papa.
Okay. I've got Victor Hotel. Hello, Steve. And I've got Victor X-Ray Papa. I've got you up there, Mr. Ohio. Anybody else? All right, let's take them two by two. Victor Hotel, Mr. Louisiana. Great pictures supporting our subject tonight. Thank you for that, Steve. Enjoyed your last change on the live portion of the website. But I know too many women that wouldn't agree with what you were promoting. Go ahead, Steve. KY6V, over.
Well, hello, Gordon. Hello, everyone. From Lafayette, Louisiana. Well, Gordon, you sort of stole the thunder there. But let me start with, just to make sure everyone is clear, Bingo does not have sufficient training to be a lead or a service dog. But if you haven't looked at the website already and want to look at lead and service animals, and again, there is probably at least one picture there you're not going to expect. VOIP.southcars.com, and then you can click on the picture to see other pictures. And we'll leave that live one up to the end of the net, and then we'll put another one up there. That's it from here. Back to you, Gordon, KY6V and the group KF5VH.
Well, thanks for that, Steve. You know, I went in a day or two back after I heard you make that comment. And I'm not sure which picture you're talking about. That might be a little bit strange. You know, the small horse was very vigil. There was a small pony that had Guamanian goop boots on. Shower shoes, as they used to call it in the Navy. What picture are you talking about? Over.
Well, I thought I had it covered two ways. If you didn't know that they used horses, that would be one. The other one is the cat with the lead harness.
Yeah, you know, I looked at that several times. I couldn't tell if that was a cat or a raccoon. Over.
Well, I assumed it was a cat. KF5VH.
All right, dude. Nice work. Thanks for all the inspiration that you put into the website. Let me throw it up there to Ohio. VXP. Hello, Rick. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening to all on the net and 1VXP. I got to go back quite a few years ago. I went to visit family in Kentucky, and when I got to my aunt's house and my grandmother's house, they had two dogs. They had an indoor dog and an outdoor dog. Well, I heard the story. The outdoor dog was a little, actually a runt puppy that my cousin found in a junkyard and nursed that dog to life, to health. That dog did not like anything to do with inside the house. Just went totally nuts. So we left him outside, and it took maybe an hour or two for him to get to know me from walking on the property. Anybody else would take quite a while. But he sensed I was a good guy, and I was going to be around for a while. And this was the middle of winter. We had a great little fun time. I would go out. He was never tied up on a leash or anything. He was always out there. And we had had a pretty good bit of stormy weather. We had a little bit of minor flooding. The whole field was flooded, and then it froze over, so there was ice out there. And I was playing around, and I said, well, let me see how smart of a dog this is. So I laid down on the ice, and his name was Tuffy. I said, Tuffy, help me. He came running over, sniffed, and licked my face, and saw that I didn't move, ran up to the house, and started scratching on the door and barking. Let me drop for a second. Now, you have to realize this dog had never been trained, never had this experience. He ran up to the door, started scratching and barking at, got my aunt to open up the door, and she lucked out and saw me on the ice and said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I just wanted to see something. So when I got up, he came running back, all joy, you know, real happy to see me up and okay, no problem. And I went in and I told my aunt and my grandmother, and they said, what? I said, that dog just literally thought he was saving my life. And it was quite a surprise. I told my cousin, and my cousin said, well, he, you know, bonds to almost anybody if he knows they're okay. And, you know, when I ended up coming back, leaving, I had spent a month there. 3 months. mostly because I got snowed in and storms are just, you know, really bad. Couldn't get out of there. But the day I left, he was sitting right at the door and saw me get in the truck with my luggage, and the indoor dog started howling. They both knew that I was leaving and probably wouldn't be back. But my aunt said that both of them would be out there looking around trying to find me. Took them about a week to realize, nope, I'm not there. I had another experience. Back when I was in Connecticut, I got to know a couple that were, they were both blind. And the wife was actually, even though she's blind, she was training dogs for guide dogs. Quite surprising. She had a technique, and it worked out quite well. Let me drop for a second. But she had her way of training the dogs, and I couldn't fathom at first how she could end up training them. But apparently they all had this idea that, they knew the person was blind, they knew they had to go from point A to point B, and they worked out quite well. I watched her and her husband, they both had guide dogs. They respected each other. The dogs didn't intermingle or anything. They knew they were out there working, and worked out quite well. Just this last summer, there's another situation I had. My cousin up in Maine has we call it a retirement home for parrots. But she has two dogs, a golden lab, and a full-size black poodle. Well, the black poodle did not get along at first for maybe 2 or 3 hours. But once he realized I was there for a while, he came over. And, he introduced himself to me, like, putting his head up. And I had to, scratch him, pet him. And it got to the point where the next morning, I was sitting having breakfast, and he'd, walk over to me, sit, and put his head right on my lap, and put his nose right onto my hand if I had my left hand down. And I said, "What do you want? You have to go outside?" And he ran right to the door, like telling me, "Yeah, I have to go out." My cousin said to me, he says, "How did you know that?" I said, "Pay attention to the animals. Animals will tell you things that you don't really think they need. So keep that in mind." Let me drop one more second. So I have a feeling that, most animals, like I say, they will let you know. They're smarter than you think. And there's a lot of things. I had my grandmother used to say, don't try to teach a dog a trick. Try to teach him to not do certain things. He can do everything. It's just a matter of just teaching them what not to do, and they will get along quite well. And my grandmother also mentioned that maybe I have a knack with animals, because I found that some animals, people say, "Oh, they don't like men at all. They don't like this and that," but they come up to me, and I say, "Well, I think it's showing respect. You show respect to them, and they show respect back to you." I also found something of interest on the internet. I'm going to put it up in the text box. Something that I saw that might be of interest. N1TXP, back to net control.
That's a great story, or stories, I probably should say. Rick, thank you for that. KY6V here for South Cars. Well, it sounds like you have a knack with animals. I think I've got a little knack, too. Of course, I grew up with them through my whole life. I can become friends to a strange dog almost immediately. If they're a little aggressive, the first thing that I do will put out the hand and let them smell my flesh. And after that happens, then I you know, scratch him behind the ears, and we're friends after that. I'll tell you a quick story, and maybe you've heard this before. This 100-pound shepherd that I had mentioned earlier in the net that I had, Baroness von Brummel, Brummy for short. We were moving from California to Wisconsin, and I had the dog shipped on an American airline flight, crated in the luggage compartment, and shipped from San Francisco to O'Hare Airport in Chicago. And I knew when the flight was coming in, so I got down to the airport, and I'm walking through the airport, and all of a sudden this PA system comes up and says, "Mr. Smith, Mr. Gordon Smith, please report to concourse, blah, blah, blah." I said, "What the heck is this all about?" So I moseyed over there, and I was told that the airplane had landed. The cargo crew was trying to clear the cargo bay. My dog had broken out of the crate that was being shipped in and wouldn't let any of the cargo handlers aboard. So they escorted me down to the airplane, and I went up there and looked at Brummy, and I said, "Hey, dude, you want to come home with me?" And she just jumped into my lap, and off we went, Rick, over.
I've heard that before, and not surprising. She thought that was her home. Ah. But now, what I was also going to say is, when you get to a strange animal, go down to their level and greet them at their level, not above. Being above is too aggressive, and they don't like that. Be down at their level, and they're great. You know, they get to know you real quick. N1VXD.
Yeah, I really think that's the answer. Thanks, Rick. Thanks, everybody. Okay, we've got a little bit more to cover here. I'm going to turn it over to Kathy at this point. Kathy, if you'd be so kind, pick up and run with it a little bit, and if you'd also be so kind, after you've covered what you want to talk about, see if you can pick up any more check-ins. We are currently 51 minutes into the hour and counting. KY6V to K6SUN.
All right. Thank you, Gordon. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and you were doing such a fine job. It'd been okay if you'd have continued. You've had some great conversations. But I want to see if either Sheila or Doug are still out there. I know they're still connected. You know, Sheila, I often hear Doug when he's doing a net, and he says that you're going shopping. So I'm going to ask you, do you take, I think it's Rufus, shopping with you? And if so, how does Rufus help you shop in the store? So I'm going to throw it over to you, Sheila and Doug, and see if you'd like to respond.
Yes, this is November 6th, India Kilo Bravo, and yes, Rufus does go shopping with me. It's what you would call sighted guide. What we go with another person. She brings her car, and so Rufus at all times has his harness on as well as his leash, and so it tells people that he is a guide dog. Sure, he does go shopping with me, definitely. He enjoys that. He enjoys walking through the supermarket, especially coming up to the doggy aisle. This is November 6th, India Kilo Bravo. Back to you, Kathy.
Well, Sheila, thanks so much for sharing that. Actually, Rufus likes going down that dog aisle. I'm not surprised, but I've often been curious about that. I knew you had a guide dog, and I am quite often when Doug's running the net or other times he says that you're going shopping, you're getting ready to go shopping. So I wondered if the the guide dog went with you. I wasn't sure if another person went with you, but I'm glad that you clarified that. And I don't often down here in Florida see any guide dogs going through the store with their owners in the grocery store, so that would be quite something to see. Thanks for sharing that, Sheila, and thanks to both you and Doug for being here this evening as we talk about leader dogs. You know, I'm going to talk a little more about the definition that Gordon started with, and then once again we're going to ask for check-ins. But you know, we want anyone to come aboard and tell us about, you know, if they know of any advanced training or the training they have to go through or the etiquette or maybe where you can't take guide dogs. So we'll throw it out there once again to you as I work through the definition. But let me pause for a moment. All right, this revised definition excludes all comfort animals, which are pets that owners keep with them solely for emotional reasons that do not amelioriate. Now that's quite a word for everyone. They're symptoms of a recognized disability. Animals that do ameliorate the conditions of a medical disability, however, such as animals that ameliorate the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, are included in the definition. Unlike a service animal, a comfort animal is one that has not been trained to perform specific tasks directly related to the person's disability. Common tasks for service animals include flipping light switches, picking up dropped objects, alerting the person to an alarm, reducing the anxiety of a person with post-traumatic stress disorder by putting its head on the patient, or similar disability-related tasks. Now, a service dog may still provide help to people with emotions related to psychiatric disabilities, but the dog must be trained to perform specific actions, such as distracting the person when he becomes anxious or engages in stimming or other behaviors related to his disability. Let me pause once again. You know, while the ADA has narrowed the definition of service animals that are required to be permitted in places of public accommodation, other laws still provide broader definitions in other areas. For instance, the Department of Transportation's regulations enacting the Air Carrier Access Act permit dog and other service animals to accompany passengers on commercial airlines. The Fair Housing Act also requires housing providers to permit service animals, including comfort and emotional support animals, without species restrictions in housing. Because there is no certification of service animals in the United States, staff must take declaration of an animal service status at face value, and furthermore are restricted in the questions they may ask about the animal. When it is not obvious what service an animal provides, only limited inquiries are allowed. Staff may ask two questions, and I'm going to buy a nickel here for a moment. So these two questions are, is the dog a service animal required because of a disability? And what work or task has the dog been trained to perform? Staff cannot ask about the person's disability, require medical documentation, require a special identification card or training documentation for the dog, or ask that the dog demonstrate its ability to perform the work or the task. And I found it quite interesting what Doug was saying, that he cannot, have that dog guide him. I was not aware of that. I know they are given to one person, but I wasn't aware that a husband couldn't also use that dog. So, you know, before we continue on talking about maybe where dogs are allowed and the etiquette and anything else you'd like to share or we'd like to share, we're going to throw it once again out there to our audience and see what you'd like to come back aboard with. Now, if you've checked in once, we'd sure like to hear from you again. If you haven't, we'd sure like you to say hi. So at this point, we're looking for some additional check-ins. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November along with KY6V for the 10 this evening, the Thursday Informational Net. Any check-ins, please?
Tango Hotel Oscar.
Get back for Goodbye. Thank you.
All right. Good evening, gentlemen. Tom, I understand you don't have a dog, but we welcome you here this evening, and hopefully you can share. And Quebec Yankee. Jim, you've been bouncing out so much, I was not sure you'd be back to come aboard. Before I pick up these two fine gentlemen, is there anyone else out there who would like to be added to the list to make any comments about leader dogs? And I don't know if there's such a thing as leader cats. Or anything you'd like to share with us, experiences, or maybe you've seen those in the stores, in the restaurants, on the street. Maybe you've seen those white canes. Anything you'd like to share with us this evening. So are there any additional check-ins at this time?
I think I might have doubled with somebody. And not GMR recheck.
All right. I'm going to pick up these three gentlemen this evening. I'm going to start with you, Tom. KC2THO, hopefully all is well with you up in New Jersey and the weather is fine. What would you like to share with us this evening about leader dogs, leader cats, maybe the white canes, or just to say hi, but thanks for being here.
Good evening, Mrs. Smith, and you too, Gordon. I don't have a dog. I have a cat, but he's not a guide cat. I have a cane that I don't like to use. They train me with a cane, and there's about a block away, there's a pretty high traffic road, or street, or whatever you want to call it. They said, just put your cane out, and the cars will stop. And they whizzed by it 40 miles an hour. The girl said, try it again. I said, you try it. She wouldn't do it. And then she took me into the closest town near us, a heavy-duty intersection. She said, put the cane out. Watch all the cars stop. Not one stop. I could have got killed. So I don't use my cane much because it doesn't give me any support. I'm like Doug. I don't know what's going on, but I lose my balance. I don't know if it's because of my eyes or my back. But a funny story I can tell you happened 2 weeks ago. We had company, and I didn't know it. And a lady brought her new dog over to show to my wife. And I was on the radio, and he came back here. I thought it was our cat. They're both black and white. And he's real lovey-dovey, was rubbing my leg, was doing everything. And then I finally went out and said, I can't believe Duffy's so lovey today. But it wasn't Duffy. It was the dog. And I got a big laugh out of that. And I did too, I guess. But it sort of annoyed me that I couldn't tell the difference between a dog and a cat. And they were both about the same size. I'd have been a little tougher, same size, same color, same everything. And the dog was real nice. Back to you, Kathy. I'm enjoying the topic for the evening. I think I learned something. And I don't know why Doug loses his balance. Maybe he can tell me something about that. It's really bad, I'll tell you. Okay, go ahead, Kath. Thanks for hearing me.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for being here tonight. You know, when Rick of VXP was talking about, you know, animals sort of know if a person's going to like them and they'll come up to them. And I was watching it here a little while ago. Gordon's about, I don't know, maybe 25 feet from me. And Miss Cuddles, my kitty cat, likes to go underneath the computer and brush by his leg as well. And, you know, they always know someone who's going to give them that attention. And so maybe that dog thought that you were going to give him some great attention. When you're talking about balance, a good experience I've had, I'm not blind, but I did get some new glasses here about last weekend. And I've been having issues with the balance, and they're not that much of a change, but they are progressive lenses, and my distance changed, and I've been sort of dealing with that. It's gotten a little better, and they told me it just takes time. You have to adjust yourself. And I agree with you about the white cane. You know, down in most states, pedestrians have the right of way, but even myself, I try to, if I walk across the road, I have to be sure that car is not going to run over me because they don't obey those signs. So, You know, but thanks for sharing that with us, and you have a wonderful evening. And hopefully you'll come back aboard, because after this I'll throw it back to Gordon to continue. So with that, I'm going to pick up a Quebec Yankee, Mr. Jim. Like I said, I've been seeing you bounce in and out, and I understand Gordon helped you with something today. Glad that you could get in here and talk to us about some of your experiences. I've heard several. I know you don't have a guide dog, but you've had quite some experiences. I think you used a broomstick one time as a white cane, so maybe you want to share that. So, Jim, KV4QY, and Miss Rebecca in the background, welcome to our TIN this evening.
Okay, Kathy. Well, you're right. Yeah, this is KV4QY. I don't know what it was. It's right at the beginning of the bed. I couldn't stay, and the net just blocked out. I was still connected, but couldn't hear nobody. I said, no, that ain't gonna do. So I jumped out, jumped back in, hoping that'd do it, and didn't do it. And I had several strange phenomena, and then I finally connected back up, and everything was lovely. So I don't know. But anyway, going back to the subject. Well, I've got a friend that I used to correspond with quite a bit. I don't meet as much nowadays, but I did for quite a while. He's the whatever he is, owner. I know he's owner. I don't know, they got a title for the big boss man. Yeah. But nevertheless, he runs the C&I dog school, training dogs. And he's the one that is truly C&I, so that's the name of the company. And he told me a few things that I found very interesting. For example, they trained those dogs for 6 weeks. And if the dog is doing pretty good and seems to be taking the training all right, stuff like that, then they bring the client up there. And he stays there for 6 weeks to undergo training with the dog. So the dog actually is at 12 weeks training, six of which is with the client, and all that, and then they evaluate and see whether the dog's going to graduate or there'll be a need of more instructions or what have you. And if they do, they might say, hey, we'll go out and keep you a couple of more weeks. So we've got some more things to get done. But we do believe the dog's going to do that. They teach them several things. Let me cycle. In addition to leading somebody, just walking down the road, going around obstacles that come up before the sightless person, or blind person, whichever way you want to call it, they teach the dogs things like stop at the traffic lights. Dog can't see colors. They prove that by taking the red lens out and putting it on the bottom and putting the green lens up on the top. And so the dog is no different. He's looking for that top light or the bottom light. That's all there is to it. He don't care what color it is because the dog's colorblind. So, they got a big traffic light that there on the campus to train by. And, they proved that the dogs were colorblind. And, the dog was still going. In fact, they even tried it without bowl ends. Just made it a clear bulb, and it would still go with the bottom and stop of the top bulb. So, it makes a difference about the lenses. and I found that interesting. One of the major things they train the dog for is to pick up poop. And when the dog gets through, he then makes sure that the sightless person has a plastic bag on his hand or a plastic glove, and then they'll guide him down to where the poop is for him to pick up in the glove or whatever, and then turn it inside out. And it's ready to go in the tank. So, they've trained the dog to do that because the sightless man sees us like that down there on the sidewalk. And a number of things that they trained the dogs to do that would necessarily be done. For example, finding his own harness. They train the dog to go find the harness if it's been misplaced. They recommend you keep it the same place all the time, but if it's not, you tell him it's not and he'll go find it. And I'll have you put it on him. So he can do that. And just specific training in necessary things in order to take care of each other. Don't take care of him, he can take care of the dogs. And that's the way it should be. That's why was mentioned earlier that two people cannot use the same dog because of the relationship between master and the dog. And the dog don't have no relationship with no other master. That's why you can't switch the dog around to different people. I don't know, Tom, on that white cane law. I know it's just a law, and I use a white cane, or I did. And I'm going to guarantee you, I ain't going to stick my cane down the street and depend on that thing. No, sir, I'd go look, see if cars are stopped. And if I can't tell whether they stopped or not, then I assume they're not. And if I hear a car motor idling, I think it must be stopped. But I don't know what we're going to do with these electric cars that don't make enough noise, and we may run into trouble. Back to you, Kathy.
JV4, you are. Well, Jim, that was some great information, and I know Gordon has some questions for you, and I have a few. You know, I remember Earlene, I believe she was running one of the AM connections, and it got talking about the leader dog. She had just picked up her new dog, And I think that's what sparked us to do this session. And she was talking about one of the things she learned, or the new dog learned, was about picking up the droppings. And I think Daryl, had asked her that question, UKZ. You know, the reason he's never gotten a dog was that, for that reason. How would he know how to pick up the droppings? And she pretty much came out and she said they're trained for that. But I have a question for you. Have you ever had a dog, Jim? You know, I've never heard you talk about having one, so I'm curious if you've ever had one and maybe why you haven't had one. And, after that, I'll pick up GMR, and then maybe Gordon can ask you his question. So, Jim, have you ever had a dog? And if you haven't, why not? And maybe you know the age of these dogs when they're first given to that new owner. So I'm going to turn it back to you, Jim. A lot of questions for you, but you have a wealth of knowledge, so hopefully you can answer. KV4QY from Kilo 6 Sierra, United November.
Well, KV4QY, the age on age, I don't have any idea. I know they get them pretty small. So I would say within the first 6 months, would be my guess, but that is a guess, that's all it is. Maybe my wife said she would guess a year, so I don't know, she may be right. I have never had a dog because I wouldn't have that much use for one. The dog, if you have a dog, it should be exercised. When I'm talking about exercise, and I'm not talking about walking and running around or whatever, but I'm talking about exercising the knowledge of his skills. And that should be exercised rather frequently. And when I was young, I'm working 6 days a week in nightclubs, and nightclubs is not a good environment for a dog. And not that nightclub is bad, but just any crowded room, the dog has fear, and naturally built in the dog. Your dog would have the same thing. He's there walking on the floor barefooted. And that big old giant of a man, 6 foot tall, standing there with number 11 shoes. And he's scared of them shoes. Afraid he's going to get his toe stepped on. So that's a real amount of fear and uncomfortableness that he must go. So this is why they don't recommend you take them very often to large crowds, large gatherings, and what have you, because of their fear of getting their toes stepped on. And that's why it's not a good idea. And I think that was the two questions you had. Kathy, go ahead,
KV4QI. Well, thank you so much, Jim. And I think it was someone was talking about, I'm not sure was talking about, I think it was Sheila, about not taking them into busy places, and you're saying that about the nightclub, so I can understand that. And I would assume the dogs would be trained very young, you know, like police dogs are trained fairly young. So I thank you for sharing that, and hopefully someone also can come aboard and tell us here tonight about the protection that that a seeing eye dog, that leader dog, gives to their owner. Does that is that dog aware of when their owner is in trouble? And I think probably the answer is right. So I'll break with you, Jim, and I'm going to pick up Matt, GMR. Thank you so much, Matt, for being here. Hopefully it hasn't been a long wait for you, but I remember you talked during some of the nets about dogs that you had, and I think you replaced some of your dogs, but I'm not sure if they were leader dogs. Matt, what would you like to share with us this evening? And maybe you have a comment about the protection. N9GMR, thanks for being here. Welcome aboard.
Okay. Concerning the dogs, you talk about replacing dogs. Actually, my parents raised a puppy for one of the guide dog schools, a black lab. And when they finished raising her, they decided they didn't want to raise any more puppies from, you know, little to when the dog is ready for training. So then we became what's called a finishing home, where somebody will start raising a dog, and at some point the dog will go back to the school, or in our case, the dog we have now, the raiser couldn't finish raising the dog. So then they'll come to us and say, hey, we need a finishing home for this dog. Will you take this dog? And of course we did. So we finished, actually my parents finished four dogs. And my guide dog was part of raising all the dogs that we've had, whether raising from a puppy, little puppy, to being a finishing home. And there's a story about that. Our last dog that we finished that we now have adopted, we didn't know at the time, but she was being trained to be a guide dog. And we were flying to Indiana on airplanes. And we got to Atlanta, and we got on this little tiny 50-seater airplane, or we were supposed to. And Annie, the black lab, decided she didn't want to get on the airplane. And Molly, my dog, of course, was there, and basically Molly, in so many actions, said, you better get on that airplane. So, of course, once Molly went up the steps, Annie came up right behind her. So my guide dog was the mentor in teaching the finishing dog that was supposed to become a guide dog but didn't, that she had to get on that airplane. Let me buy a nickel real quick. Okay. You asked about protection. They, at least at the school I went to, they discourage dogs from giving you any kind of a warning that somebody's at the door or anything like that. If a dog barks or growls, we are to pretty much have a command that will get them to stop barking or growling or whatever it is. My dog actually was very smart about it, and she would bark, but she also knew that once I went up and investigated and I knew what was going on, she would immediately stop. And the dog we have now, of course, she does bark also, more so than mine did. Actually, I think my dog taught her to bark, but I think Annie kind of took it too far. If a guide dog shows any sign of aggression whatsoever, that dog will be is retired immediately. They don't want the dogs to show any aggression at all. And I have heard cases where a guide dog has shown signs of aggression or has been aggressive. And at that point, of course, the school suggested the dog be retired. One more reset here. Okay. Concerning shopping, my guide dog was raised by someone who loved to clothes shop. And when I was in training at the school with her, one of our assignments was to go to a mall. And, of course, you know, my dog was so used to going into clothing stores that my trainer said, Molly thinks you need some clothes. Of course I didn't, but so I had to tell her, no, we're not doing that. The grocery store, the way we handled that was we would hold the leash, not the harness, but the leash with one hand and the cart with the other. We would heel our dogs. And the third thing I want to mention, this is kind of funny. When I was in the mall, the day my dog thought we were going clothes shopping, I actually heard a kid comment pretty far behind me, you know, dog in the store? I was like, well, yes. There is definitely about 10 or 12 dogs in the store, actually in the mall. Back to you, Kathy, and 9GMR.
You know, Matt, I remember many years ago when I think I was little and I saw dogs in the stores. I said about the same thing, dogs in the store. And I think it was my parents that pretty much said they were leader dogs, and I guess that's when I got my training. But, you know, I have a question for you, Matt, before I throw it over to Gordon. What happens if the owner of the guide dog is being attacked by someone? And you say the dog is to be retired if they bark, or protect the owner. What happens if someone is attacking that owner and he has a hold of that guide dog? What happens then? Does the dog protect its owner or just stand by as the person is being attacked? I'm sort of curious about that. Over to you, Matt, N9GMR.
Okay. I don't know the answer to your question, but I think in a case like that, if the dog did react to defend the owner, I don't think there would be an issue. The school might look at that and say, okay, let's evaluate this dog in a few months and see if the dog still has those tendencies. The dogs can bark, that's fine, but they can't show any sign of aggression. In other words, they can't act like they're going to bite somebody or, you know, be act ferocious or anything like that. I mean, they can bark, but as long as when you give them the command, whatever that is, in our case, it's no noise or quit it or whatever. I mean, I use several different ones with mine, and they stop, that's fine. You just don't want them to be barking uncontrollably, because what will happen is they'll do that in public, and that's not good, and you'll get thrown out of places. So I hope that clarifies that.
That sure does, Matt, and thanks so much for being a part of the program and answering probably those silly questions I had, but it is something I've wondered about. I don't see too many guide dogs down in at least in my area. I'm sure they're there, and I'm sure they're in the stores, but I haven't seen too many lately. But I want to thank those who responded during my session. But I'm going to turn it back to Gordon and see where he wants to continue. We've had a great session so far, Gordon, 27 after the hour. And I'm not sure how much you want to continue with, but we've had some great conversations out there, and hopefully we can have some more. So I'm going to throw it to you to continue. KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. KY6V here for South Guards. Well, I'd like to go back on a couple of comments. I found it very interesting, Jim, in your comments about the dogs being colorblind and not knowing the difference between green and red and how they distinguish it, you know, whether it's on the bottom or on the top. But I want to go back to the pooping department. When these dogs need to relieve themselves. Jim, I hope you're still with us. I see you connected. In my limited research on putting this program together here this evening, it is my understanding that the dogs are trained when to poop and not poop, when to go to the bathroom and not go to the bathroom. In other words, contain their desires at that point. You know, you don't want a leader dog to be taken into the middle of a restaurant and all of a sudden he poops in the middle of the floor. So again, it's my understanding that they are trained to control this. Do you have any comments on that, Jim? Over.
This is KV4 QI. Well, yeah, they use their intelligence too, just like you do. You don't poop in the dining room floor either, but. they do poop. The dog has to go outside and to use the bathroom. And when he goes outside, another, you know. Why, that's when the poop must be taken care of. It's not to lay there, unless it's in your own yard, you don't care. But if you're not at home, and generally they are, why, they just show the owner where the poop is. And he picks it up with a plastic bag and turns it inside out, sticks it in his pocket, or when he finds a trash can somewhere, he throws it in. So when he gets home, he drops it in his tray. Don't make no difference about that. Don't worry about it after it's been picked up. But it's his job. It's too good that their poop is taken care of and ain't left there. And, of course, that would not be in a restaurant. That would be when he's going for a walk for the purpose of going to the bathroom. And, but still, you wouldn't want your dog pooping in front of your house. And it just lay there. The owner should take the poop up and discard it as he sees fit. Over.
Well, you've got me chuckling here, Jim, in the respect, you know, we just came out, Kathy and I, from a gated community in Vero Beach and moved into the new home down here. And this gated community was elderly type people primarily, and they had pets, and they walked their dogs primarily daily, and they carried a pooper scooper. When the dog needed to do something, the pooper scooper picked it up and they put it in the bag and it took it home. Over.
Oh, that's the same thing, with the one exception. You ain't going to use a pooper scooper for a blind fella, because you wouldn't know when they had the scooper over the poop. Unfortunately, that's one of them things you had to get real close. And use your fingers, your phalanges, to ascertain exactly where that is. And then you can pick it up. And once you pick it up, ain't nobody cares what you do with it, provided you don't leave it back down on the ground again. Take it out with you. They teach the dog, that is, how to direct your hand directly onto the poop. You don't get excited. Try to get your hand ahead of the dog. Let the dog lead you. He'll put your hand right down on the poop with the plastic bag on your hand, and all you got to do is just hold it around the, pick it up, and twist it, or whatever you're going to do to make it stay shut. That's all you got to do. It's very simple.
Well, you know, I hate to do this to you, Jim, but is a dog trained well enough to tell its owner that he hasn't got all of it yet? Over.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They sure have. The fellow that run that school told me that when he's training one, he purposely misses some. And he does that to see if the dog will catch on belong to us, and the dog will just do whatever he has to do, and I don't know what he does, but he's enough to tell you, get you another bag, you didn't get it all, and then he stays there until he's gone, over.
Well, you know, Jim, I don't want to take this into a risque type situation at all. But if we get out of the poop department and take into the whiz department, what do they do there? Just let it dissipate on its own? Over.
Yeah, as far as I know, there ain't no way to pick up whiz. So you just have to say, say la vie.
I like that. C'est la vie. Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks, everybody. Gordon here, KY6V. Any other comments out there? We've got, you know, tons of stuff we can still talk about. However, we are now 36 minutes into the second hour, and I don't think we need to go into this any further. But if there's any other comments out there, please call now. Give me your suffix only, if you'd be so kind. KY6V, over.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Victor Hotel.
Okay. Got Mr. Ohio and Mr. Louisiana. Both of you guys are going to give me an education about the whizzing, I'll bet. VXP, go ahead, Rick.
Well, I can give you a little bit, but no, I want to go back to... crosswalks. I've noticed that a lot of crosswalks now have a signaling device that they give out an audible tone when it's for the crosswalk. And as far as anybody getting at a crosswalk and you have the light or you don't have the light, a lot of states have it now as a law that's anybody that steps off the curb. If it's not a, if it's actually marked as a crosswalk, but it's not controlled by a signal, that any pedestrian steps off the curb, the cars are supposed to stop. And yeah, I agree. That's not everybody pays attention to that, but I can remember back in the early 70s, going in this one town and. They actually had the police keep an eye on that. And they would give out tickets for those who didn't stop. But let me drop for a second. I had a unfortunate situation. I was at a, over in Pennsylvania, and I was at a, one of my trips, and I had the crosswalk. And apparently, now this is what really gets me. I was on a crosswalk, I was on the left-hand side of the intersection going across. I had the crosswalk light. However, they had the traffic lights where the cars behind me would have a green light as well. But they were supposed to stop for the pedestrians. And this guy, I'll put it long story short, he was reading his mail. He had just picked up his mail from the post office. Reading his mail and trying to drive at the same time, did not see me, ran right in front of me. If I would have been another 3 feet forward, he would have actually physically hit right into me. But he ran over, ran just right in front of me, ran over my left foot. Luckily, I didn't have any major damage or injury, but it was still quite a scare. But apparently, I guess that's typical in some cities, that crosswalk lights are not complete stop lights, that they do still have motor vehicle traffic, that, you know, they're supposed to pay attention. And this guy said to me, you know, he saw me right away on my cell phone. He said, who are you calling? I said, 911. He said, why? I said, because you hit me. I looked at him, I said, you dummy. And everybody saw me, and they helped me over to the curb. But this guy could not believe, let me drop for a second, You know, this guy could not believe that I was calling 911 because he, you know, was not paying attention. I told the police officer, I said, if he wouldn't have not have been reading his mail, he would have been, paying attention to the driving. And the officer said to me, he said, how do you know? I said, well, look on his passenger seat. He's got all his mail, because the minute he knew he hit me, he flung the mail over to the seat, all opened and all over the floor and on the seat. I said, he was reading his mail. And left it at that. And I was saying to myself, some of these drivers just don't pay attention, as far as driving. And they're supposed to be, actually here in Ohio, they have the same law. When a person goes on the crosswalk, they have a right turn on red law that they can turn right. And they still turn right and right in front of people. And I said, hey, now. So I always make sure I look twice before I go a crossing. And as far as the relief, I had a couple of friends of mine that he had guide dogs. And they said, well, normally we do it, but, you know, we can let you do it. But this friend of mine had a guide dog. And she said, now keep this in mind. There are two commands that I expect you to use. If he gets a little too anxious, control him, like heel, and pull on the leash. She said, don't use the harness, but use the leash. He'll know. And worked out okay. And 1PXP back to net control.
All right. Thanks for that, Rick. KY6V here for South Cars. I need to ask this question. I know that Kathy is going to throw something at me when I say this. But you kept referring to this driver as a he. Are you sure it was not a she? Over.
Oh, it was a he, and he was 88 years old. And it was so funny because he was driving a big old Buick. And it's such a small guy, like one of the little guys was barely able to see over the windshield. But it was definitely 88 years old. And the officer said to me, he says, don't worry, he's probably going to lose his license, but he'll learn. And 1PXP.
Oh my goodness gracious, I'm getting into that area, so I'm going to have to be careful, Rick. Hey, thanks, Guy. Let me turn it over to VHO out there in Louisiana. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you, Gordon. Well, I'm sure that there are many guide, leader, and service animals that did not know that they were held in such high esteem. I'm talking about the top tier, just like the astronauts that go heroically into space. Because just like the astronauts, they get the same type of questioning. Because the first question every astronaut gets is, how do you go to the bathroom in space? Good night, KF5VH.
Very carefully. Hey, thanks, Steve. I'll tell you what, we've really taken this subject tonight right around the whole perimeter. Okay, anybody else out there? We are 44 minutes into the second hour. We're not going to bore you anymore with what we've got here, but if there's any other comments, we'd sure like to hear them. KY6V, over.
I got to do it one more time. 3XV.
Mr. Ohio, you're right on the top. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, as far as bathroom breaks for guide dogs, seeing eye dogs, this friend of mine said it's a scheduled time, both morning, afternoon if needed a break, and evening. Set time, you know, right before meals, and it worked out quite well. And maybe another idea here, we could probably continue some of this kind of discussion on the open rescue nets. either Saturday evening or Sunday evening. Might be a great idea. Well, if you want to talk more about it, you can bring up that subject. N1VXV, back to net control.
Well, I think that's a great idea. Rick, you know, the posture that we're trying to set here for the open rag chew on Saturday evenings and Sunday evenings is to have somebody like yourself. All you have to do is come aboard and say, this is N1VXP, and anybody interested in a rag chew this evening, and once you've got some attendance scheduled, start up the subject on whatever you want to talk about, sir. Over.
Well, that might come up soon. I'm not sure. I haven't decided quite yet. N1TXP.
Okay. Very good. Well, you know, we're trying to get this open rag chew to be very free and let you, as members of Southcars, just free flow. Get something started and discuss it and hopefully stay within the Southcars perimeter as to what is proper and what's not proper. Not get into anything that is controversial and that kind of stuff. So we'll see how it goes. Okay, anybody else out there like to check in here before we close up this evening? KY6V, over. Okay, guys and gals, I'm showing 48 minutes into the second hour here. We started at 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Been a good session, and thank you very much for everybody that's participating. We're going to close it out. And I'll close out the recordings here, and it'll be posted on, this session will be posted on the website sometime tomorrow. So good evening, everybody, and thank you, KY6V. Southcars is now closing this particular session, returning the server back to normal use and abuse, and everybody have a great evening. KY6V clear.